bug go?
Tibunta Vista, episode 400. I and one. I am Ben, and I am the host of...
Don't want to do that one again?
No. I don't think we do retakes.
Keep all of that.
Yeah, great. I am Ben, and I'm the host of... Now, isn't that different? The podcast where we explore the rich vein of differences between Australia and the United States of America.
Okay.
With me is Theo, who is Australian. Hello, Theo.
G'day.
G'day.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm... Look, okay. I've got my problems,
No, we move on from that. I'm just going to tell you a couple of differences, and we'll see whether you already knew about them or how you feel about them.
Yes.
Theo, did you know that in America, instead of driving on the left-hand side, they drive on the right-hand side of the road?
I did. The thing that I struggle with, and, you know, probably Americans feel the same in reverse when they try and put themselves in our shoes, is when they say... So I get the right left thing, and I can imagine that taking a left turn is difficult. Mm. That's the hard one. The thing that I find I find difficulty to keep clear in my head is that the left lane is the fast lane.
Yeah, I tell you what, it is shockingly intuitive once you're doing it. Your brain just flips. You don't even really think about it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's honestly, I was always scared that turning. Like across traffic, I would go into the wrong lane on the other side, just sort of by instincts. But it's all very intuitive. It's actually pretty straightforward.
Very easy to put yourself in their shoes then.
Yes. Yeah. It's super easy.
Picture a world, not quite like your own, but just as valid.
Yes, that's right. Parallel, but not better or worse.
Yeah.
Theo, did you know that in the United States of America, instead of measuring temperatures in Celsius, they have their own sort of thing, sort of unique to them, called Fahrenheit? Have you heard? Okay, so you've heard.
Yes, I did know that. If you take the Celsius temperature, it's 9 divided by 5 plus 32 to get to the Fahrenheit. Temperature. So 32 degrees is
it's
the
so easy. You just
Fahrenheit
do it
is the Celsius freezing point.
Yeah.
Well, it is the freezing point, but you can get to Celsius here. Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Only ones to do it, though. So it is kind of a bit of a niche fact for us to know. Sort of a very niche fact because they're the only country in the world that uses Fahrenheit.
Yes. It's just them.
It's like if we knew a lot about the currency system in Belize or something, right?
Theo, you just fucking blew my mind. When you were saying that sentence, I was like, what would be a random country I would pick? And I was thinking Belize.
Oh, goodness.
Why were we both thinking Belize?
I don't know. It's like we're there, one mind, and we've kind of like, we're looking at each other from the other side of the podcasting table. I've got my bare foot extended, and you've got your bare foot extended, and we've clasped toes together.
That's right. And then somehow it turns from an embrace into a struggle, we're rejecting our shadow selves.
Yeah, fight for who can survive.
Okay, so you knew that one. Yeah, just as an aside, if I'm doing the Fahrenheit conversion, instead of doing 9 over 5 or 9 over 4 or whatever it is, I just halve it.
Halve it pretty close.
It's a pretty close approximation. Yeah. I don't think most people are mentally equipped to do the other one.
Yeah. I just know that I don't really know much. I just know that high 60s is where they're going to set their office temperature, I think. It's
they're setting that thermostat to 69.
To 69. Seems like a nice temperature. Yeah. The 100, that's hot.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
That's probably sweatshirt weather. When anything like 50 or below is getting chilly.
I think high 90s is when they start doing the stuff we start doing around the mid-30s.
Mid-30s.
Bloody hell. Yeah. They don't say it that way, obviously, because they have their own things. Yeah. Sorry, I hate to rabbit on about temperature, but sometime in the last week, I was in the bar and a guy from Alaska was talking about some really bad weather that they were having, and he was saying, I'm wondering whether or not this could be true. But he was like, yeah, it got down to minus 40. And then I had that little moment of joy because that's the minus 40 is the temperature that's the same in both.
It's both. You don't have to ask.
That's you can do the classic Fahrenheit or Celsius, either one.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
That is. That's a little... Also, that's low.
That can't be that
also,
cold.
Also, Alaskans, welcome. You guys are not quite like Americans, I think. Yes. You're Americans, yeah. But you're not quite. And we've got some very lovely Alaskan fans as well. So, please.
I tell you what, right now, the overnight low in Juneau, Alaska is 12 degrees Celsius. So, I don't know what the fuck that guy was talking about.
We are.
Summer over there. I kind of forgot.
That's, yeah, it's summer over there. That's like a mirror Brisbane.
They are having overnight. Beautiful. Basically identical weather to us in Juneau. Isn't that
Juneau,
strange?
Alaska?
Theo, you're not going to fucking believe this. Oh, no, they are slightly different. Right now, okay. We're having top of 23, low of 12. They're having top of 22, low of 13.
Oh,
it all means something.
We should be sister cities.
Brisbane, two syllables. Juneau, yeah. Two syllables.
Yeah. Brisbane, cool name. Juneau, dope.
Very cool name. Yes. Very cool name. Unless it's like named after a despised local explorer, and then we hate it.
Yeah, then we hate it. Yeah, that guy sucked.
Theo, did you know that in the majority of US states, they apply sales tax to the purchase at the checkout, like at the point of sale, yeah. Instead of on the listed price?
Yeah, so they kind of got to do that thing where they calculate it and... You know, so this plus sales tax, and they've got all these little shorthands to get them there and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, they've got to come
up
with a crazy trick for applying 10% to something.
Yeah. Yeah, I did know that. Sales tax here too, but then the government and sales taxes suck, by the way. They're a regressive tax and we hate them. But the government did spend a moment thinking about it and going, hey, you know what? Actually, you've got to put it on the price tag.
Yeah, they made everyone go through and manually update all of their, like, because this was pre-digital signage, largely.
Yeah.
You had to go through and add 10% to, like, the price of your hamburgers.
Yeah, so if you've got a menu and it said $10 for a hamburger, now they go .10 and it's not lined up. It's sort of just in the margin now.
Yeah.
It's $10.10. Is that right? Nope. No, it'd be $11.
It'd be $11, shit. Yeah. But if your hamburger was
$1, yeah.
I'd love to eat that hamburger. It sounds very affordable. Now, also with me is Andrew, who is American. And I thought we might try and do a little flip side thing here. How are you, Andrew?
Howdy, y'all.
Perfect. Andrew, did you know that in Australia, instead of calling it fall, they call it autumn?
That can't be right, because we don't call it autumn here.
Yes. And that's sort of the joke of the intro.
Yeah, that's
is
the
that
joke.
American would be resistant to it, whereas we already know all the stuff.
Hey, do you want to know? Do you know what my idea for this week's intro was?
Autumn.
That I am not going to use. I'm ready to throw it on the floor here.
Well, I mean, you clearly weren't going to use it because you asked us if we had an intro this morning.
Yeah, that's right. Because this is the best I got to. It's the beach that makes you cold. Hey, I'm here on the beach that makes you cold.
Yeah. It's winter, so it'll be chilly.
Yeah, it sucks. That's also, it could really be just good. In like South Australia. That's because they got the Antarctic there.
I think it's a little further south. America, huh? Mm-hmm. That's something that we talk about in America Watch. It's time for America Watch.
America.
This comes to us from KTVB in Idaho. Fallen soldier cart at Boise Airport.
Just to move him around on? Man down. Get the fallen soldier cart.
Fallen soldier cart. At Boise Airport.
Boise's just a wonderful thing to say, isn't it? We're reading one of the Dr. Seuss books to the kids. And they use it as a funny-sounding place name.
Oh, really?
Boise, Idaho. It is.
You think it's with all of his sort of fantastigorium of wonderments that he's coming up with, he could come up with a funnier place name than Boise?
It's just, I disagree. I don't think it's necessarily like, it's not like Titicaca where you're trying to be funny. It's just it's an odd assemblage of...
Pulling up the funniest name.
The indigenous Peruvians were trying to be funny when they came up with Titicaca.
No, if he had put that into the book, right, that would be trying to be funny. Whereas this is just a wonderful assemblage of syllables that you don't get anywhere else. Boise, Idaho It's got a bounce to it. It's got this wonderful kind of rubberiness to the way you say the S in Boise.
Yeah, it is evocative to me of the bouncing ball used in sing along cartoons.
Yes, it's got a shuffle feel to it, right? Boise, Idaho.
You know what's quite interesting is the Wikipedia pronunciation has it with a non sibilant S.
How does that sound?
No, a sibilant S. Boise.
Boise.
Boise. That can't Boise. Be right.
Ow, I've my Boise. I
don't know. Yeah, no, that's the Wikipedia pronunciation guy there, isn't it? Boise.
Americans are out there saying Boise?
Boise.
That can't be right.
Yeah.
Boise?
Mario Kart.
The origin of the name is uncertain. One account credits Captain B.L.E. Bonneville of the U.S. Army as its source. After trekking for weeks through dry and rough terrain, his exploration party reached an overlook with a view of the Boise River Valley. The place where they stood is called Bonneville Point, probably because he stood up there and went, oh! Pointed.
Yeah.
Yep. Like a happy chimp.
That's good gear.
According to the story, a French-speaking guide, overwhelmed by the sight of the verdant river, yelled, Le Bois! Le Bois!
I think it's pronounced Guy, actually.
The woods. The woods. And the name stuck.
Oh, fuck. That's a Terry Pratchett-ass fucking way to name a city.
Yeah, sure is.
Although this is like there's no particular agreed origin of the name, but Google's AI review says, yeah, here's what it means and where it came from.
Yeah.
It's just sucking up some information. Shitting it out onto the front page of Google for us. Just diarrhea-ing out some information there.
I enjoy that the only time that LLM users are interacting and grappling with the like verisimilitude or the, I don't know if that's the word, the kind of the
worth trying though.
It's worth trying. You got to throw it in where you can. Like how trustable their facts are when like Grok will just deny some insanely racist talking point from Elon Musk, and then Elon Musk is like, "Oh, now I'm going to have to put you down like a dog," you know, which rocks. And also they're spending like billions and billions of dollars on this and to build the Colossus, which, you know, we've got to stop letting him name things or living, and like is just like choking black neighborhoods with the gas turbines that they power it with, etc. But also sometimes it says something epic bacon, so you know,
it'll sort of give you a meme answer to a question, or it'll
Did you guys see that report from MIT where they had studied people's use of ChatGPT over 6 months, like people writing essays and stuff?
Posted in our Discord probably 25 times.
6 million times.
Yeah. Every single time I see it, I'm like, oh, that's good.
Oh, it's
good stuff.
It's funny to you that using ChatGPT to outsource all of your thinking physically causes your brain to dry up on the outside and shrink like a walnut. And that's funny to you?
I'm actually...
It's just knocking around in there?
This conforms so well to my existing beliefs that I am choosing to believe that it is greatly exaggerated. Oh, almost so much what I already think is the case that there's no way it can be the case.
You can't be. It has to be confirmation bias, but at the same time, yum, yum, yum.
Yeah, oh, delicious. I'm eating it up, even though I know it's bad for me and I probably should look into it more. I'm reading the few paragraphs that people are posting on the internet and I'm going, oh, baby.
I'll take it.
Alaska Airlines partnered with Boise Airport on Friday to unveil a custom-designed fallen soldier cart during a ceremonial handoff honoring military heroes on their final journey home.
Yeah, I got your ceremonial handoff right here, pal.
Oh. The cart marks the 17th created by Alaska Airlines employees.
The 17th?
Yeah.
They're really... Okay. They're onto this like they think they're cooking with this idea, right?
I'm sure in America they are. Available to all airlines operating in Boise Airport, the cart provides transportation for the remains of deceased military personnel.
And this is coming up often?
What do you fucking reckon?
I don't know.
It is our honor to bring this fallen soldier cart to Boise and continue our commitment to our fallen military members, said Scott Worth, organizer of the Alaska Airlines Fallen Soldier Program for Boise.
They should just flush it down the toilet.
Are you assuming they're all cremated?
Yeah.
I was picturing it that it was moving big, caskets around. Because don't they love
toilet.
They love a flag-draped casket over there. Our program
beep
is
dedicated.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Our program is dedicated. No, because if I beep it, people are going to think it's even worse than that. They're going to think you said the other thing that's worse. So maybe I will. Our program is dedicated to ensuring that every active, retired, or veteran military member and their families receives the utmost care and respect for their service and sacrifice. The Boise cart features an interior painting that honors fallen military members and their families alongside a medal outline of the state of Idaho.
What service? I'm really... Okay, look, I'm going to get it out of the way first. Obviously, the military recruitment over there is working alongside the material conditions that mean that people have potentially no financial future unless they do something like sign up for the military, right?
Yes.
And if you get tricked into something when you're in high school and you can sign your shit away before, you know, you're even legally allowed to drink or drive or whatever.
There are circumstances. There are capital
sucks.
C circumstances involved. Yeah. For sure. Let's get all the caveats out of the way.
If you're over there and you're like 36 years old and you're being deployed to like your sixth Middle Eastern country.
Yeah.
Right. And then you get got over there because a predator drone thought that you were an orphanage housing someone from Hezbollah underneath.
Mm.
And then they have to kind of ship you home in a bucket. Whatever. I feel like that's kind of your fault.
Hey, I saw a video today that I hope was real, you know, that I hope was real.
Sure. Yeah. Let's just give ourselves a free pass for this episode. Yeah. Anything
let's
that
have
we
a free
saw,
pass on this
skim
one.
Read, saw
we're allowed
digested
to believe
in a TikTok.
Yeah.
Everyone else is there kind of just sitting kind of bleary-eyed, mouth open, going, duh, I'll make that part of my belief system.
This
let us
true.
Do that.
Let
us
we
be
not
uncritical.
Believe something for once.
You come to us
a
for
a lot of fucking
spare
time, all right?
You come for us for truth and for having a nuanced view of the world. We're gonna take all the facts as they come. And it's tiring. It sucks.
Yeah.
Okay?
And you know what? We're extending the pass to you. Anything
yes.
we say in this episode, true. Don't think about it. Don't fact check it. Don't sort of go, ooh, is there a reason I'm too willing to believe this? Could it maybe have been skewed to represent something else?
Now you've just got a pass to say, you know, I heard on a podcast the other day.
Yeah.
And then
just
repeat
it
uncritically. You
just
know?
Let it.
So I saw a video that was from the No King's Day protests in America. Somebody had made a video of themselves blasting a Hanoi Hannah broadcast at the Marines that were stationed there, because they've had the American troops in there policing Americans.
Yeah.
And this person is playing over a loudspeaker a Hanoi Hannah transcript, an actual recording of one of their broadcasts.
Mm-hmm.
So I was wondering, Theo, if you are familiar with Hanoi Hannah, who's a Vietnamese radio personality where they broadcast these messages to American GIs over the radio.
Is this the
war.
Is this like your government lied to you GI kind of deal?
And the longer you stay here, the more likely it is that your girl is going with another boy.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah, that rocks.
I was just looking at one of the transcripts here. American GIs, why have you come to Vietnam? Your government has betrayed you. There is nothing noble about your mission. There is no reason why you should be here. You will never defeat our forces. The French never learned. Will you? You don't want
and
to be
honestly,
compared to the
A,
French
cooking,
like that.
And B, completely true.
Yep.
History has shown this.
When you sit alone at night and think of your loved ones, our gallant soldiers are watching you. You cannot escape. Do you have a watch, American serviceman? Look at it.
Me.
The minutes are ticking away.
God.
Soon your time will stop in Vietnam. You will be killed when you least expect it. Your imperialist government will never defeat us. Our soldiers are politically motivated and strong. You are weak. You have no cause. No one wants you here. Why do you stay? Tell your officers you want to go home, GI. Tell them you will not fight anymore. So imagine listening to that and then you get shipped home to be transported around in the custom-painted Alaskan Airlines body bucket that they've created for you.
Just
got a beautiful American flag on it.
I don't want to get all Rage Against the Machine here, but I feel like if you need to make the special cart for moving dead bodies around the airport from foreign wars, maybe there might be something wrong.
Like a few things have gone wrong in the fabric of your society. Sort of like in the fundamental, you have built your house on a
foundation of sand.
Facility. Yeah,
certainly. Yeah. The blue-painted exterior includes red carpet and American flag curtains with emblems representing all six branches of the U.S. Armed Forces.
These are all the departments you can die for.
Rebecca Hupp, Boise Airport Director, said the partnership represents the airport's commitment to military families. Quote, "We are deeply honored to partner with Alaska Airlines in bringing this meaningful tribute to our airport," Hupp said.
You know what I reckon they would like more than that is if you were committed to military families is, say, like, letting military families fly for free instead of, like, putting a sick paint job on the special cart you use to move their coffins around.
Yeah. Mm.
I feel like that would do more for the military families directly.
I kind of feel like if I had, say I believed in all this and I had died for my country, I do not want to go in the cart with the, like, velvet curtains and stuff that gets driven around the airport with a little horn on it, goes. I just think that all of that pageantry is kind of, you know, just a bit big. I gotta take a shot at this. Gauche.
Yeah, correct. You reckon they're giving the fallen soldier cart the La Cucaracha horn?
I think they're giving it the La Cucaracha horn.
Just for
I actually think it's worse. I think it's worse. So I reckon that they've themed this special cart in loving tribute to our fallen soldiers, and fucking nobody is looking up from their Dunkin' Donuts as this thing goes past. Like, I think the way that this is framed and the way they're talking about it is maybe meant to conjure an image of, like, you know, thankful citizens stopping to salute the cart as it goes past in the terminal. Yeah. I don't think that's happening at all. I think people are getting kind of shitty when they get honked by the little La Cucaracha horn and they have to move out of the way with their bags. Fucking.
Do you know the imagery you're giving me, Andrew? Is like if that cart was on rails, kind of like shooting around in in the spaceship from WALL-E.
Yeah.
And nobody is looking up from their screen.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
WALL-E?
Yeah, I think. It's hard. It's hard because you need an American accent to get the
WALL-E?
The sort of the pun in the name there. So it is WALL-E? Tough. That is a trap for young Australians.
Okay.
WALL-E.
As an added bit of flavor, all six branches of the US Armed Forces. We, of course, know the classics.
Mm-hmm.
So we got Army, Air Force, Navy.
Yep.
Marines. Coast Guard?
Correct, yes. And finally,
Janitors.
Space Force. It's Space Force.
Space Force? They added Space Force to the military?
How many fucking, like, if anyone from Space Force is getting carted through on the fallen soldier cart, it's because they got, like, crushed by a forklift or something. Like,
yeah.
What are we talking about here? The Coast Guard? Well, no, actually, probably. Does the Coast Guard do, like, offensive action in the US, or is it just saving people? Or are they doing, like, border enforcement as well?
Oh, they're doing like drug running stuff, aren't they? They're doing, like, trying to catch those Miami Vice speedboats. Yeah.
You mean stopping it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Wink. I think the Coast Guard deserves respect if they, only in the instances where they're, like, towing stranded vessels, rescuing people at sea or whatever.
Yeah,
those
so they're trying to get a whale off of a sandbank.
Yes, I don't think that's their department.
If they want my respect, they should be saving whales.
I'll fucking salute those guys, the Air Force. I am never, can you imagine, can you imagine meeting a guardian of the Space Force?
Oh, me, I'm a Space Force veteran. Put that on the back of my middle-aged guy motorbike club jacket.
Yeah, because it's
Space Force veterans.
I fought in the first Space War.
Because they're sitting in the guardhouse at fucking Kennedy Space Center. And their feet up on the table.
Jacking off with both hands.
Yeah. It's not, I mean, you say both hands. We have to clarify. It's one hand and then the next hand and then one hand and then the next hand. Like, they're like, feet, like, a milking, like they're pulling kind of rope out of a container. But Americans could do that because they use lube to jack off. Let's talk about that. We're going to talk a little. They didn't make it into your intro.
Yeah, I don't like it when they say lotion.
Let's address it now. Yeah, they're going to put lotion on? Like skin lotion?
You're putting perfumed stuff on there?
They're always putting jokes in movies about how someone's got a bottle of moisturizer or something next to the fucking on the bedside table. What are you talking
about? I feel like I'm looking at the three seashells here. What's it for? What are you causing so much friction for? And I understand.
We know why it is.
Joke. We know why it is. You don't have to write it to tell us.
It's because of the thing that you do.
It's your superstition thing that you do. Because I feel like it looks better, but it looks like an acorn hanging out of a pipe.
Coming out as a dry jacker for Theo here.
Quote, it produces its own. All right.
What?
Guy who uses his pickup as a loop. Well, you just got to star a little bit. You'll spread it around.
Wow.
Damn. To commemorate the occasion, Alaska Airlines and Horizon Air flew in their special military-themed aircraft.
Military-themed? Special military? Can we get that aircraft up, Jamie? Can we get that aircraft on the screen, please?
Wait, Mark, can you pull up the military-themed aircraft, which is called Honoring Those Who Serve?
I put a U in honoring. Honoring Those Who Serve.
It's the name of an aircraft.
It's the name of it. Let's see how stupid this piece of shit looks.
Yeah,
it looks fucking stupid as hell.
The ceremony included a solemn escort beginning at the Idaho State Veterans Cemetery. Between 50 and 65 veterans on motorcycles joined Eagle Police deputies, Ada County Sheriff's Office deputies, and Idaho State Police troopers in accompanying the cart to Boise Airport.
There is the whole, like, veterans on motorbikes thing. The whole, like, middle-aged guys on a Harley. Dressed like Sons of Anarchy.
The toughest kind of guy there is.
It's pretty embarrassing as a cultural phenomenon, I think.
You know when Americans would post pictures of like North Korean generals with like a bunch of medals on them, be like, oh my God, these guys are fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a look at yourself and the shit that you people do?
It's way
cooler.
At
least they can walk in time.
It's way cooler to... It's way cooler to have a midlife crisis or be retirement age and buy like a sick muscle car.
Yeah.
That's
so much doper. Have a muscle car parade.
And you can be like
a bunch of fucking cobras.
You can be a middle-aged guy with a paunch and everything and gray hair, and it's just fine. You're just a guy in a sick old car, and everybody goes, hey, sick car.
Hey,
put
an elbow at the window.
But by trying to transpose it to the Harley Davidson, look at me. Actually, also, I'm tough.
Yeah. I'm kind of a biker. Like, you're like a retired guy that ran a golf supplies store.
Yeah.
And now you have a motorbike.
Me and my fellow jet ski ownership, my jet ski dealership owners, are going to go on a sick drive around on our motorbikes, being kind of tough.
Yeah, you're not like a one percenter.
It's a one percenter in the personal wealth kind of sense.
That's right. Idaho State Police hosted the escort as part of the agency's commitment to honoring veterans. Quote, our troopers will assist in escorting a custom cart built by Alaska Airlines maintenance employees designed specifically for the dignified transportation of veterans' remains, Idaho State Police said.
I feel like they and I have different definitions of dignified.
Yeah.
And look, it's probably, it's subjective. It's got to be subjective, right? But also, maybe it isn't.
I think maybe it's hard to communicate to Americans sometimes how America looks from the outside.
Yeah.
That, like, we're subject to our own sort of propaganda and stuff over here, our own cultural things that we're not really aware of.
It doesn't
work
on us, but it is there.
Yeah, it's there. And that, obviously, we're immune as podcasters. But, like, I think if you watch the sort of the heightened, deliberately over the top stuff they do at the Nathan's hot dog eating contest.
Yeah.
That's what all
troops.
Of America looks like.
Yeah.
That's how it feels. Hey, a bunch of those motorbike riding veterans, probably Gen X. We check in on Gen X in in Gen X Watch. This comes to us from r/GenX. Had a flashback to the 80s yesterday. I live in a large Midwest city. Yesterday, while driving around, I saw a male teen on his bike heading to the fishing hole. Used to see that stuff all the time. Not so much anymore. A ray of hope.
What? A ray of hope?
Don't.
The fishing hole.
Why did you specify male teen? That feels really uncomfortable. That feels weird now. Yeah. So I was following behind a male teen on a bicycle yesterday. Like, kids are fishing.
Yeah, kids are still fishing, dude. I don't know what to tell you.
A lot of them are on the iPad. A lot of them are playing fork knife. Sure.
Yeah.
But like...
Can I be real with you? Kids were fishing when I was growing up in the 90s and I was on the computer.
Yeah.
Okay? We always been on the computer. You look back into society, you look back through history, hundreds of years ago, you say, look, back then there were no people on the computer. There were absolutely people on the computer.
You were on the computer. History. I was a hybrid. I was on the computer and I was fishing. I was doing both.
Okay, look.
It's possible.
I don't think you understand your privilege that you're like a daywalker, right? You can exist in both worlds. You're like the Colossus of Rhodes. Your legs are stride.
The daywalker, fishing boys. I live in the inner city. I think that's fair to say. In a place that is not particularly friendly to fishing.
No, we I think there are creeks there, but underneath the road.
Yeah, well, there's Rosalie Creek, which they turned into a storm drain. There's the Brisbane River, which is fucking disgusting. And I still see teens fishing constantly. Kedron Brook. I'm seeing teens always fishing at Kedron Brook. Yeah. People still go outside.
Life finds a way.
Yes, that's so true. Where there are fish, you will find... A teen boy with a like $15 Kmart rod.
Yes.
And the tackle that came on it, putting some frozen prawns into a creek to catch the smallest bream you've ever seen. And I think that's beautiful. These old fucks, they're just like, no, I bet no one buys fishing rods anymore. What are you
nowadays
fucking talking
about?
Nowadays
with iPads and, yeah.
You know how many kids you still see riding around on bikes? Life's still happening.
Yeah.
Hey, if you're a teen riding around on a bike, you should probably look out for the cops. We talk about the cops in Cop Watch.
Distinct from Crime Watch.
Yes.
Because police cannot do crime.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, yeah. This is from KTAB in Abilene, Texas.
I'll put it on the tab.
Big country stop. Brings Aussie closer to collecting all 254 Texas sheriff patches.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. She's out there in the big country.
He's out there in the big country.
And he's stopping. A retired senior sergeant from the Queensland Police Service in Brisbane, Australia.
Queensland Police. This is 100% Queensland Police brain.
Of course.
Yeah. Is making his way across the big country as part of a unique mission, collecting a patch from every sheriff's office in Texas.
Yeah, I got a lot of respect for the sheriffs and the American police.
All the hard work they do.
Well, yeah, and like they really have a thing or two to teach us about, like, kind of letting you get away with it, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just kind of do what you want. Sort of nothing. Nobody ever like pulls you up or you don't go to jail or nothing.
Yeah, I don't think sheriffs can go to jail. We should have that here. I think they let us. You know, when I was like just starting work in Brisbane, a coworker showed me a video of who's that old piece of shit Texas sheriff that's like, you know, the bad one, the
Joe Arpaio.
Joe Arpaio, yeah. You know, and him like marching all the prisoners up and down, and you know whatever. And he's like, how good's this? They should do this here. And I'm like, but those people aren't even convicted. We don't even know that they did anything, first of all, right? Those are just the people in the fucking holding cells.
Mm.
Like, I don't agree with this in any way, shape, or form. And it's very difficult to realize that that's what happens when you go into the workforce, is that you start dealing with people who think Joe Arpaio is good. And then you get to the Queensland Police, which is 100% those people.
Yes, it's all of them.
It's all of them in one spot.
Brian Eaton, who dedicated more than 40 years to law enforcement, has been traveling the Lone Star State, connecting the sheriff's office, sharing stories, and trading patches along the way. His goal is to collect.
He should have spent 40 years doing something worthwhile. You wasted your life, idiot. Now you're wasting it for a new reason.
Well, you, Theo, you're bitch. Kind of a numbers guy.
Yeah.
40 years. Yes. So let's say that he retired recently.
Yeah.
What was 40 years ago? That would be like the mid-80s.
A time to join in the police force in
Brisbane.
The history
of the Queensland
Police
Service.
So he's just gone. He's looked at what's happened in the mid-80s in Brisbane policing and gone, you know what? That's me. That's me down to a T.
I want to be a part of that. Yeah.
I want to be a part of possibly the most notorious corruption, like police corruption episode in Australian history.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The
so he's probably a cool guy.
Probably a very cool guy.
When visiting the Nolan County Sheriff's Office, Eaton humorously explained what sparked the trip. Quote, my wife told me to leave and go do something.
Yeah. She wants to fuck other men.
That's right. During his stop in Sweetwater, he traded three different patches. A black patch currently in use, a blue patch previously worn by female officers, and a grey patch representing watch house officers, known here as detention officers or jailers.
So this is like Pokemon Go for domestic abusers.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Okay.
Quote, we are thankful for Brian's visit to Sweetwater, Nolan County, and appreciated the engaging conversations and laughter he brought with him. Thank you, Brian, for your service. It was a pleasure to meet you, and we wish you safe travels, the Nolan County Sheriff's Department shared online. He then stopped by Callahan County, followed by a stop in Dallas. From there, Eaton plans to head north to Oklahoma before making his way back home to Australia. Can you fucking imagine the conversations between these, like, small town Texas sheriffs and a like 40 year honed racist Queensland cop?
The stories they're trading. No, yeah, actually, we would do something really similar, but we've got a different kind of brown person over there.
Yeah.
Yeah. They are just bragging to each other about shit they have gotten away with. I thought I would maybe just look up Brian Eaton to see if I could figure out when he retired. I couldn't, but I did find a couple of things here. This is a 2009 article from the Brisbane Times.
Uh-huh.
Speeding sergeant won't be sacked. Great. Yeah. A senior policeman allegedly clocked at 228 kilometres an hour while chasing a speeding motorcycle in an unauthorised pursuit north of Brisbane is tipped to hang on to his job despite a Crime and Misconduct Commission inquiry. Hey. Senior Sergeant Brian Eaton has been stood down as officer in charge of the Pine Rivers Traffic Branch pending an investigation over the alleged incident on the Bruce Highway at Burpengary on August 22nd.
Oh, so very stupid to have been working for the police force for 35 years, I think, and have made it to Senior Sergeant. Maybe not. Maybe that's a perfectly good place for a bunch of dunces to land.
Don't know anything about the cops.
Yeah.
It's alleged he did not have approval to carry out the high-speed chase. Senior Sergeant Eaton was investigated in 2003 over a separate pursuit along an unsealed road. The incident resulted in the deaths of two men, Andrew Hill, 33, and 49-year-old Alan Toohey, in North Queensland.
And, of course, we were reading this in the article that we were...
Oh, they didn't include that. Weirdly.
They didn't include... Oh, sorry.
They didn't include that in the colour piece about how he's collecting patches, yeah.
A little puff piece about... Okay. But he killed those kids in an illegal chase.
Yeah, well, adults, but yeah.
Okay.
Their deaths promoted an overhaul of Queensland Police's pursuit policy after it was found Senior Sergeant Eaton chased the pair at 75 kilometres an hour before their unregistered and unroadworthy vehicle crashed into a creek bed on Anzac Day 2003. So he's the reason, this man is the reason Queensland Police has a, like, no chase policy, basically. It's pretty fucking cool.
Oh, fucking chases George over here.
I have another story here.
Uh-huh.
This is from the Courier-Mail in 2013. He didn't lose his job over that last one, by the way.
Avoided criminal charges despite a coronial ruling he had acted in a reckless manner.
Yeah, instead he had his pay docked for a while.
Yeah, we don't... So there's so many things that bring us together, I think, Australians, Americans. When the judicial system says that the police fucked up here... we just ignore them too.
Yes.
We just sort of say, hey, we don't need to pay attention to that.
We kind of have more in common than we have differences, I think.
Yes.
So this is from the Courier Mail in 2013. Pine Rivers cop Senior Sergeant Brian Eaton allegedly nods off during wide load escort.
Okay.
A senior traffic policeman with a checkered driving history is under investigation again, this time for allegedly nodding off at the wheel during a wide load escort. Pine Rivers traffic branch officer in charge. So he got his job back, as you can tell from this story.
Of course.
Senior Sergeant Brian Eaton was unhurt when his patrol car struck a pilot vehicle on the Cunningham Highway at Swanbank, southwest of Brisbane. Two unnamed sources have told the Courier-Mail that the officer allegedly fell asleep at the wheel in the early hours of May 31st, fatality-free Friday, a day when motorists are urged to take extra care on the roads.
God, that's so funny.
We are sending, like if this was, if a Queensland cop was going to tour your sheriff's offices, yeah, you have sent probably the most perfect example of one.
We have sent you the median Brisbane cop.
Yeah.
I think. That rocks. Yeah. Nothing really to say here. I think that, you know, obviously we can all kind of sit and think that perhaps if you're given more power and responsibility in a society, you must be subject to more stringent regulation and oversight and that sort of stuff, whereas, you know, we just do the opposite and we let fucking thumb-headed dickwits do this for like 40 years in a row.
Yes.
And then they go and they get to retire and they drive around another country.
And they put you in the news. There are so many fucking news stories in the US about him visiting sheriff's offices, none of them sort of mentioning the disgraces, things like that. I personally believe in the full abolition of police as a whole. That's just my personal beliefs. I do think if we have to have them, if we have to give a certain few people in society a sort of monopoly on violence.
Yeah, which I feel philosophically, we haven't even arrived at that point yet. We don't understand. I feel like we've done that without really checking as well.
Yes. Well, yeah, this is kind of my point is I think maybe if there is this elite section of society who are allowed to dispense violence alongside, you know, the sort of the practice of justice and the keeping of the peace, probably shouldn't be like a guy that killed some people.
Yeah.
You know, I know that seems ironic to say out loud, but like probably shouldn't be a guy who had caused these deaths at a time when he shouldn't have to then be the person in charge of maybe doling out life or death decisions as a career. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And also that we should also be able to kind of like, if he does that, then we should be able to kill him as well. We should be able to pull all his fingers off and kind of hammer them up his dick hole one by one.
Yeah. Maybe that should be the flip side. If cops are allowed to make life or death decisions about the rest of society, the rest of society gets to make that, but only about cops.
That's right. If they get it wrong, that's right. It's dick hole hammering.
Yeah. Just make the stakes high. If you fuck this up.
Yeah, exactly. 100%.
You're toast.
Yeah.
Like you're gone. Yeah. Yeah.
But the stuff you're talking about, Ben, it's in the past. You know, it happened. True. It happened some years ago. I'm sure the police have engaged in extensive reforms and are really good now.
Yeah.
Right? Oh yeah, probably. Yeah,
probably.
Probably.
Yeah, yeah. I saw this fucking article yesterday that was the finding from a police internal investigation in New South Wales, I believe.
Yeah.
So there was
they should be investigating their internals because someone hammered a bunch of fingers in there.
it's a Muslim guy in New South Wales who lives next door to a cop, and the cop had installed a swimming pool, and this guy was saying, oh, well, every time they have like multiple people around in their swimming pool, all this water starts overflowing from this swimming pool. And it runs under the fence and down over the retaining wall in my property and is like all pooling around the supports of my house, and it's starting to cause structural damage and shit. You know?
Yeah.
So he said, I had put up these security cameras aimed at that stretch of the back of the house just so I can record this thing happening and say, hey, can you please do something about this? You know? So this cop is having a pool party with his pig friends, and they're all getting about in the pool, and the water starts pouring down the back of this thing again.
You should get a saltwater pool so they brine themselves.
And this guy, this guy goes over to knock on the door and say, hey, can you guys like cool it in the pool a bit because all this water's coming over into my property. One of the party guests, not even the owner of the house, the cop said, he doesn't want to talk to you, and told him to fuck off. And then after going back home, this guy then hears the cop and all of his friends at the party all chanting Allahu Akbar in the pool and yelling boom, boom over the fence at this guy, right? And because he set up the camera, he has the recording of this audio and it taking place right after he's gone over there and said, excuse me, it's me, your Muslim neighbor. Could you cut it out a bit? He's reported this to the police because he said, yeah, that kind of seemed a bit fucked to me because it seemed very clearly and deliberately directed at me as like, you know, intimidation or an insult based off my religion. And you know, making the insinuation that I'm a terrorist and everything. And so the police did what they did best, and conducted an internal investigation, and they said, no, it's okay. We talked to them and they said that, that wasn't about you. So it's fine. So this is a quote from the inspector, the police inspector who conducted the investigation. What I can say from the outset, which is extremely positive, is that the chanting you heard was not directed at you in any way. I can definitely understand how you came to this conclusion, the inspector wrote. I can assure you that the behavior you heard and captured on your devices was not directed at you in any way. Each of the directed officers, so there's multiple cops at the party, each of the directed officers indicated that the yelling and chanting that you heard was banter between friends at a private Christmas party and definitely not aimed at you.
Fuck.
While I can understand that you concluded something significantly different to that, I can assure you that the evidence I have gathered from these cops does not support that conclusion, and I would hope this allays your concerns and fear of anything more sinister occurring on this date. There is no threat to your safety and welfare that I can establish from this investigation.
So one thing that I find difficult, like, in talking to other people is that obviously other people, unless they are, you know, within our friend group and that sort of thing, it's a very hard topic to kind of go, well, you know, actually, the police are a negative force for society.
Fundamentally evil, yeah.
And that sort of stuff. And you know, talking about the structural kind of thing, you go, like, who watches the watch, blah, blah, blah. You know, it takes a while. But one thing that is easy to get over the line is to be like, hey, did you know police lie? Police lie reflexively. And they lie constantly, and they lie, and it is not against the law for them to lie to you, and they will lie to you, and pretty much you can just assume that they're lying all of the time, because that's what they do.
They instinctively lie, then the police union will lie for them, and then the police union will do anything to protect them, and then when it comes out that those were lies, they don't change their story in the slightest, they don't acknowledge that they were lying. Hey, for cops, lying is basically a sport. We talk about sports in College Sports Watch. This comes to us from KGUN in Tucson, Arizona.
The gun.
Former Pima County supervisor cited, banned following drink toss at UA game. A drink allegedly tossed at a University of Arizona men's basketball game resulted in two charges of assault / no injury and a ban order until February 24th, 2026 from the University of Arizona for a former Pima County supervisor. Sylvia Lee, who served as a supervisor in 2024 and is now retired, was cited and issued the exclusionary order following an incident at the UA basketball game against Brigham Young University on Feb 22nd, according to an incident report from the University of Arizona Police Department. According to the report, a drink was thrown from the stands at the end of the game. The officer who wrote up the report said UA fans were upset over a foul call they didn't agree with. The officer saw someone throw the drink, but the crowds of people leaving the arena, plus the fact that many people in the arena were wearing red, led to him losing the suspect, the report said. It's like at that bit in Drive. It's blending into the crowd.
Well, that bit in at the start of Heavy Rain, where he loses his son in the crowd of balloons.
Never played it.
Yeah, it's bad.
The- The drink hit the audio.
You should watch you should watch the video on YouTube where someone tried to work out how many times can you piss in the game Heavy Rain. Fantastic video. It goes way deeper than you'd expect. It's wonderful.
Sounds great. The drink hit the audiovisual equipment and three employees at the game, the report said. Two of them opted to press charges. The third declined.
Is this a combo shot? Are we getting like a...
How big AOE. Was this drink?
Yeah.
Well, it's America, so probably a 64-ounce mega gulp or whatever the fuck.
Like, don't throw stuff at people.
Yeah,
obviously.
That sucks.
Obviously, don't throw stuff at people. But also, like, if I get hit with some splash from a thrown soda at work and someone says, do you want to press charges? My instinct 100% of the time is always going to be, what?
Yeah. Hey, what do you mean? Charges? What are you talking
about? No, it's kind
about?
Of annoying,
drink
but
at me.
I think I'll just go home and change my shirt.
Getting splashed and immediately going, you're here for my lawyer.
No, yeah, no, like, getting what splashed and going, I want a charge on your record.
Lock her up. Lock her up.
It's quite the reaction.
Lock her up.
The report said the athletics department was able to provide a possible name of the suspect along with her contact information.
A possible name. Sorry, going back to the three people getting hit by the drink, I'm imagining, you know, in a video game where you like throw something at somebody and it's got like a combo system, but when it hits, it gives more momentum to the ball. It gives it like dunk, like it's going to, and then the next one has like a pitch up. It's got dunk, dunk, dunk. Like,
oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah, three by combo, maybe in Peggle kind of deal.
University of Arizona police were able to match her license photo with the person seen in the video footage. The officer called the number provided for Lee. She called back and explained that she slipped on popcorn and soda left on the floor, causing her to spill her drink. She said she didn't do it on purpose.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I spilled my drink.
Perfect crime.
I spilled my drink
to 15 meters away.
Yeah.
The report said Lee said everyone was pointing at her, so she ran out of the building.
Yeah, okay.
Don't look at me!
It's never great when you do something and you think, maybe I'm going to get away with it, and then 30 people around you turn
like
and do the invasion of the body snatchers scream and point at you.
It was that bitch.
The officer said in the report that he explained to Lee that the video footage did not match what she was describing.
Yeah, probably because that's an insane thing to say.
Yeah. Lee came to campus where she was shown the footage. Was that you? Because it didn't look like you slipped.
Yeah.
Kind of looked like you wound up your arm and then just sort of overhand threw it at those three nerds.
You went into a full Major League Baseball pitcher's stance.
Yeah,
for hurling this
also
thing.
why the AV team?
I think they were just caught in the crossfire.
The AV team should be neutral at all times, I feel.
Yeah, I hope they didn't bring their own equipment because that'd be a huge fucking... It better have been the university's equipment.
Oh, yeah, they've got to do this shit on contract.
Yeah.
And it's like all out of pocket.
My thoughts and prayers are with the AV team and their equipment. She was cited for alleged assault / no injury and issued the exclusionary order, the report said. Lee spoke with K-Gun9 on Monday, stating that when she called the sergeant back, she told him more than what's written in the police report, taking accountability for her actions. Quote, the game had just ended, and one of the BYU players that was on the court was taunting my daughter and saying some obscenities under his breath. Like,
all right, going
it.
Back. Going under his breath? Going back for more lying.
Yeah,
going back, like, first lies disproved. New batch of lies begun.
You telling me that a player from BYU was mouthing obscenities for Brigham Young University? I don't think the guy from BYU knows any obscenities. He's from the fucking Mormon University.
Yeah.
Like, what's he doing? He's like, oh, you pee-pee head. Yeah. Oh, your butt face. Oh, yeah. You're a little...
I think he's probably saying pee-pee head.
Stinky butt. I had a mum moment that was very... It was kind of like a blur. And I threw the remnants of my Diet Coke trying to get him. But I missed him and I got two other people, I believe. I don't know who they were. And so I was cited for a misdemeanor for assault. Lee went on to say that she deserved it. Quote, it was something that happened. It was irrational. It was emotional. And it was totally out of character for me.
I'm assuming the reason for the assault charges is that she had one of those like superhuman mother moments where you can flip a car to get it off your child, you know?
Yeah.
Except she was hurling that 64-ounce Diet Coke like a bullet. You know, it got subsonic. Everybody heard the boom in the auditorium.
Oh, it, supersonic then.
Shredded through some stacks of amps before splashing onto the AV guys.
She goes on to say that she hopes she's remembered for all of the 40 years of community service she's done instead of this one incident. Quote, I hope that doesn't change the outlook of those that know me and have worked with me. I had a mum moment, and my guess is that a lot of parents out there have had something that's happened where they got very upset because somebody was taunting their child.
Oh, Mama Bear came out?
And even though my daughter is in her 30s, she's still my kid.
Very funny.
Come on!
I must protect my 35-year-old daughter.
What are you talking about?
All falling apart right at the end there, you know?
Great punchline.
I just feel like if you hear someone being rude to your 37-year-old child, you as a parent don't have to go into like a barbarian-style rage.
Yeah.
Your vision doesn't need to turn red. You don't need to start hurling improvised weapons at the person who's like being mean to your adult child.
You do not need to enter berserk mode, punching all of the flesh off of their body, leaving only a skeleton.
That's right.
Even though I don't think you should try and get somebody charged for a thrown soda, I think you should be getting someone charged with a crime. That said, I do think that throwing a soda is very disproportionate to thinking you saw someone like intend a word.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's
they didn't say it. They didn't say it, but I could tell. Yeah. I could tell they wanted
somehow. That is worse than going, I was mad because of the call. I was mad because of the ref call.
Yeah.
You ever get mad because of a ref call? Everyone has, like, at some point in sports, right?
Hey, here's my question. How come refs don't know what they're doing?
How come they don't know? Hey, they should put me in.
How come the ref's always making calls that support the other team and not my team?
That team had one more player on their team. The ref.
Yeah, that's right. And they shouldn't be allowed to do that.
They shouldn't be allowed. They should be on neither team.
Yes. But vaguely supportive of mine. Quote, my advice is think before doing something so stupid and really look at the whole big picture before you act. I learned a lesson there. What big picture would have stopped you from hurling wait a second, this action is part of reality.
Did ChatGPT write this apology?
Maybe.
I mean, probably.
That's the world we live in now.
That is now of days?
Yeah. Can you make me sound reasonable and not like a fuckhead? That's weird. That's changed every single word of what I was going to say.
ChatGPT, write some contrition.
Yes. Make me sound introspective.
Make me contrite.
I will not read this before sending it. Hey, I think this was definitely an episode of the podcast Punta Vista. Thank you so much for joining us. If you made it all the way through this episode, you might like this podcast, which means that I can recommend to you getting a second episode every week for the price of a cup of coffee a month, patreon.com/Punta Vista. There's nothing weird or crazy about the episodes. It's just like you get two of these. Sometimes they're better because we've had a couple of beers when we record on a Wednesday night. So, you know, the energy's a little looser. Sunday, more of a morning thing for us. Stay safe out there. We'll talk to you real soon. Bye.
Bye.